If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go. Friday afternoon, and Mardi Gras is not over. The crew of Argus is rolling in Metairie, starting right before at 10 o'clock, right before the St. Patrick's Day Parade, starting at Rumble High School on Severn, heading up to Metairie Road, turning left, and then taking that St. Patrick's Day route right ahead of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. So this is going to be a long-ass parade, starting at 10 a.m., looking forward to that. People always get a little crazy. All right, we've got a lot to talk about on the show today. It is Free for All Friday, but right now, reach over there and crank it up because this is what you have been working for. And we are expecting some pretty big storms tomorrow. Now, it looks like it's going to really happen. Last week, last Friday, we were talking about big storms happening on Saturday, and it never happened. So I think this forecast is a little more definite than that one was. I don't know if they ever explained why last week it was predicted that there'd all be these big storms for New Orleans, and it didn't really happen. You know, I'm in West End, and I didn't get rain until Saturday Night Live was on. Saturday night, and that was the first rain of the day, about 10:30 at night. But I think tomorrow's going to be a little different. Did you see the blood worm moon last night? I did. I was awake. I was still awake. I didn't go to sleep yet. And I went out and I saw it. And, you know, it took a long time for it to eclipse. But I saw the reddest part of the moon. And it was really pretty cool to see that. And as I mentioned yesterday, they call it the worm moon because this is a time of year that earthworms come out. And apparently the moon is some kind of directive for them to come out or something like that. I don't know much about worms, but that's what I remember hearing. So, look, we've got a lot to get to on the show today. And yesterday on the show, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser called in. And he talked about how he is hoping that, he was hoping that the New Orleans City Council would retain the contract with Ivy Waste and Sidney Torres to clean up the French Quarter. Ivy Waste was brought in with an emergency contract for the Super Bowl to keep the French Quarter clean before, during, and after the Super Bowl. And they apparently did such a great job that the councilman who was in charge of that district, Freddie King III, said he got a lot of comments on what a great job they were doing. Billy Nungesser said he witnessed the job they were doing and seemed to indicate that they went above and beyond what they needed to do an excellent job. There was a call for washing down the streets several days a week, and Sidney Torres is having his company do it every day. So there's a possibility that this is all going to go to another group. Now, there was a contract that was approved by the city council but never finalized. That's now the subject of a lawsuit. Now, if it wasn't finalized, I don't know what this lawsuit is based on. And it seems like the questions are about whether or not this group, Henry Consultants, Troy Henry, who was a mayoral candidate at one point, Troy Henry of Henry Consultants is going to subcontract with Richards Disposal and he wants the contract. So, I mean, he's going to make money, and so Richard's disposal is obviously going to do it for less than Sidney Torres is getting to do it. But overall, the city's going to have to pay at least the same because, I mean, Henry Consultants is not going to do this for nothing. So there's got to be some money in there for Henry Consultants, and then you're going to subcontract with somebody, and you're not even in the business of doing this. So in a way, this kind of has a political stench about it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing wrong here, but it just doesn't sound good. And it sounds like typical New Orleans politics. Well, after Billy Nungesser called, Freddie King called the show, and we talked to him as well. And if Troy Henry wants to come on the show and talk about this, he can. So we'll see how this plays out. There is a blog and the conversation with Billy Nungesser and the conversation with Freddie King is on the website, WWL.com. It's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and I'll read some of your comments from the Facebook page a little bit later. You can go there and listen to this and read the blog that I wrote and also comment on some of the comments that are there. But, you know, most people seem to agree that if Sidney Torres is doing a hell of a job right now, why change things? Why change things? And why go to somebody who doesn't even have experience in the garbage business? So, again, this is the typical questioning that goes on when there's business involving the city of New Orleans and when contracts are out for bid. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens here. I don't know that there's anything wrong as far as Henry Consultants or as far as Richard's disposal is concerned. I don't know if there's anything wrong there at all. But it just, there's some things about this that don't make sense to me. So anyway, that's, again, that's still on the website and the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. All right, there is controversy about the upcoming new movie, Snow White. It's a new reboot of the 1937 classic from Disney, Snow White. There is some criticism from the actress. There's criticism about the Seven Dwarfs, and we'll talk about that on the show this afternoon. Also, there is legislation in Texas about furries. Now, do you know what a furry is? All right, Ian is off today. Coleman is our studio producer. I'm going to ask Coleman. I don't think Coleman and I have ever talked about this. Coleman, do you know what a furry is?
From what I understand, furries are grown adults that dress up and act like animals for their own personal pleasure. Am I in the right, in a ballpark?
Yes, you are. Okay. You are. And it's teenagers as well. I mean, I think it starts at the teenage age for a lot of people.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Listen, you know how I learned about furries? I was staying at a hotel in Seattle, and there was a furry convention there. And I saw all these people, grown-ups, walking around with these furry outfits, and there was like a Velcro patch down in the crotch area and in the butt area. The costumes had like a Velcro patch. And they had meeting rooms, and so I asked a few questions, and that's when I was first introduced to furries a long time ago.
But that's why I think I got confused, because I'm aware of the furry conventions, and I don't think underage people are allowed to go to these conventions, so I'm thinking there's a difference. Like, if they were teenagers, maybe they just identify. Like, I think there's a difference between people that actually identify as the animal and grown-ups who just are role-playing as the animal for their, you know, to get their rocks
right
off.
I think there is a difference, and that's, you know, interesting way to put that, yes. And there's a difference between furries and cosplay, a total difference there. Furries are people who identify with being an animal, and sometimes this has to do with sexual immaturity, and they actually, while wearing the animal outfit, like a wolf outfit, a cat, a dog, a bear, some kind of animal outfit, while wearing the outfit, they have intimate relations. And so this brings enjoyment to them. I don't get it, but this is what they're into. So there's legislation now to somehow ban furries from doing certain things in schools.
Hey, Scoot, do you think in order to be a furry, you have to identify as an animal with fur? Because I remember you talking about this person from Oregon yesterday that identified as a tortoise, but tortoises don't have fur. So would that person be a furry if it's a Shelly?
Shelly, that's funny. You know, I don't know. I think furries are generally animals that have fur. You know, they're kind of cuddly. They're, you know, I mean, I don't think you can identify with being a snake and be a furry, but I don't know, you know, maybe somebody could. But it's an interesting cult. I don't understand it, but it happens. Now, the whole controversy over children, like teenagers, putting litter boxes in the bathrooms, so they had the choice of using the urinal, the toilet, or the litter box. That whole story is based on a false story. That was fake news. That was not really an issue. There was speculation that that had happened. It spread around conservative media like it was happening. But that did not actually happen. So this legislation, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is kind of ridiculous in that it's legislation about something that is not even a problem. You know, it's like a solution looking for a problem, and the problem doesn't really exist because they're look, you know, you can dig up some stories, but check the sources. The sources are not credible sources. There are sources that say, yeah, there were litter boxes in the bathrooms. No, there weren't. So check the source when you see these stories, and don't, you know, don't call the show, don't text us, don't get all bent out of shape that we're wrong here. If you are wrapped up in the conservative echo chamber when it comes to conservative ideology and conservative agendas, then you believe that there were litter boxes in bathrooms at schools. You also believe that Hillary Clinton was running a child sex operation out of a basement of a pizza parlor in a suburb of D.C. Neither one of those things actually were a problem. So we'll talk a little bit about that later, but I just wanted to set the record straight on that. Also, some people are surprised with this poll. I'm not really surprised. California Governor Gavin Newsom went on with Steve Bannon. And some people criticized him for some of his comments. But listen, this is really interesting. Gavin Newsom is kind of making the rounds with conservative hosts of podcasts. And it's interesting because I think Gavin Newsom is really positioning himself for a run for president in 2028. By going to these conservative outlets, he's presenting himself as a moderate Democrat. And I believe a moderate Democrat will beat any right-wing radical that runs for president. If Donald Trump does not run for a third term, and I don't think he's going to, but there are people who are going to try and make that happen. If Donald Trump does not run for third term, and the Republicans believe that it's best if they find somebody just like Trump, a right-wing radical, to run for the presidency, then a moderate Democrat, I believe, will kill them in the election. So let's watch Gavin Newsom. And just this week, I was talking about who are the Democrats who are possible candidates for running in 2028. I mean, we need to start knowing who those names are if they want to gain traction and really be considered serious as a candidate for president. And apparently Gavin Newsom is one of those. Also, another plane incident. An American Airlines flight landed in Denver. They were going from Colorado Springs to DFW, the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. And there was a problem with one of the engines. So they landed in Denver, which is just north of Colorado Springs. So they didn't get very far. 12 people were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. There was billowing smoke coming out after the engine caught on fire once they had landed in Denver. So another plane incident. And, you know, I mean, are people, whether it's air traffic controllers or mechanics, are people not doing their jobs? Are Americans becoming slackers? Or are people who are doing these jobs becoming slackers? I don't know, but it's happening more often than it should, and it should be very concerning to everybody. But I say that, but yet I'm not afraid to fly at all. All right, this weekend is going to be a huge weekend because of the crew of Argus before the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Metairie Road. As you know, this is going to be on Sunday, and it starts at 10 a.m., not at noon. And then the St. Patrick's Day Parade in the Irish Channel has been postponed, and they're working to reschedule that. All right, so there's a doctor who says, because now there's all this controversy in Louisiana about the death penalty and how to execute somebody. And I mentioned this week, why is it so hard to bring an end to life? It seems like if you just gave somebody fentanyl, too much fentanyl or too much morphine, well, they would die. And they would essentially die a peaceful death. I mean, they would just go to sleep and never wake up. So why is there all this controversy? Well, the controversy is obviously stirred up by the people who are trying to keep these people on death row alive. I have ambivalent feelings about the death penalty. I've talked about that. But if we're going to have the death penalty, it's not that difficult to bring life to an end. And there's a doctor now talking about how this nitrogen, and we had some people call up who have actually, you know, worked around nitrogen, and they know how deadly it can be. And it is a silent killer. Like, you just fall asleep and never wake up. So they're talking about using nitrogen to execute this death row inmate in Louisiana. And I don't know why this isn't going forward. If we're going to have the death penalty, why not use the nitrogen? Because now there's a doctor saying that this is just a very, very easy way to bring an end to life. You know, because with nitrogen, you get this in your system and you simply fall asleep and you never wake up. All right. Also today, I want to talk a little bit about Joe Rogan's interview with Elon Musk. I watched a lot of that last night. Not all of it, but I watched a lot of it. So we'll talk about that this afternoon, too. There's a lot going on. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a Free for All Friday. It's going to be a spring-like afternoon, but there's going to be some storms coming tomorrow. But Sunday is going to be spectacular. We'll be right back on WWL.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here in New Orleans and really throughout Louisiana, it's just disgusting how people just, you know, throw stuff out of the car window or leave it in the parking lot of a store. I mean, it's disgusting. But it's an instinct that we should change. And this is just a reminder that not everything we do in New Orleans is right just because it's what we've done in New Orleans. I mean, this is something that really should change. So on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and also on our website, WWL.com, there's a blog that I wrote yesterday. It's a brief blog. It's an introduction into a conversation that I had yesterday on the show with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser and Councilmember Freddie King, who was in charge of the French Quarter, and it's about IV waste. Let me share a couple of comments from the SOTA Facebook page. Connie says, Kenner had IV waste, and they did a fantastic job. Their employees were friendly, considerate, and would pick up garbage even if it would fly in the street from the wind. They would even pick up and sweep if the garbage missed the truck. Since Kenner politicians got kickbacks from a different company, they now no longer have IV waste and now have a horrible company that does not even come close to IV waste. Now, I don't know about the kickbacks, Connie, but I know that this often happens. Sometimes, in fact, quite often in Louisiana, the best person doesn't get the contract because kickbacks are given, and there are creative ways to give kickbacks to politicians. Some of it might almost be borderline legal, but the best person doesn't get the job. And it's just really, it's sickening. It's sickening how so many politicians do their job. Jerry says they should keep the person they have. Al says Oliver Thomas, the next mayor, is working, well, it's speculation, is working behind the scenes to get IV out so he can get his buddy from North Louisiana who subbed it out to Richard's disposal, who turned around and subbed it out again. Billy Nungesser knows what's happening. That's why he wrote the letter. Freddie King needs to be asked about all the homeless that Fox News featured in the newscast, Fox 8 News locally, featured in the newscast about being belligerent and using the bathroom in front of businesses, leaving needles everywhere. So, yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done in the French Quarter. But again, you know what's sad? Is that this city did such a great job for all the people who came here for the Super Bowl and for Mardi Gras. And now that the Super Bowl's over, now that Mardi Gras is over, a lot of things are reverting back to the way they used to be. So it goes to show you, this is proof that the politicians don't care about us. They care more about visitors than they care about us. You and I have power. We have the vote. And we need to prove that we're not going to vote for the same people. We're not going to vote for the same people with the same connections. This is why I wanted to run for mayor. I wanted to run against LaToya Cantrell when she ran for re-election. And I was serious about it. I decided in the end, after serious consideration and consulting with my son and everything, I decided not to. I wanted to keep doing what I was doing in radio. But, you know, I wanted to be that person that would change things. And my campaign and my time as mayor would be based on one idea. I'm going to do what needs to be done. And if you don't like me, then vote me out. But I'm going to do what needs to be done. Politicians don't do that. Politicians do everything they can just to get reelected. And of course, make money. They do what they can to make money and get reelected, and they don't care about the citizens. The only time they act like they care about the citizens if they think it's going to get them votes. And so this is the pathetic nature of politics. And anybody who's running for mayor of New Orleans in this upcoming election, the election is October the 11th, anybody running for mayor better try to demonstrate that they're going to be different. And all of these people in the city council and anybody who runs for mayor that has all these connections, you need to be suspicious of them. And all of these candidates need to address this. And what I want to do with our show here is I want to focus on how much power we have. We are the voters. And if see, what they depend on is that we're going to just follow the same pattern. But if we start to give them indications we're not going to follow the same pattern, we're not going to do that anymore, they will change. And if we vote for somebody who is different, that's going to send one hell of a message to anybody who wants to be mayor of our city. We deserve what we get. And we don't take our vote seriously enough. And we vote for the same types of people. And there was nothing about Mayor Cantrell that indicated that she was going to be different. And we got what we deserved. And we've got to stop that. And so over the next few months, as we start to hear more about the mayor's race, I'm going to constantly remind you that you have the power to vote for somebody different or somebody who convinces us that they're not going to follow the same patterns. We have that power. And if we don't use it, shame on us. And we really can't complain about it if we don't use that power. And I will tell you this, I don't care what color you are. Just because a candidate is the same color as you doesn't mean that candidate is going to care about you. It doesn't mean a candidate of the same skin color, white or black, Hispanic, whatever. Just because a candidate looks like you does not mean that candidate cares about you. And it doesn't mean that candidate is going to really represent you. And I'm going to constantly remind you about this, that you've got to vote for the best candidate if you want this city to be better. And if you don't want the city to be better, then just admit it, and more people are going to move. More and more people are going to move out if we continue to follow the same pattern. And you're chasing them out if you don't do a better job with your vote. All right, if you want to join us with a comment on this Free for All Friday, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to CB. CB, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me? Good.
Yes, I can.
Okay, so I want to talk about nitrogen.
Okay.
So I know you've heard enough about it. So I've been in the chemical industry for 40 years.
Okay.
So we've used nitrogen for cleaning, purging. It's not reactive. It's very, very, very clean gas, but it will kill you instantly. I mean, within seconds, talking about less than 5 seconds. So
and you would essentially become unconscious and you would just die, right?
You would die instantly. You really don't need to go to sleep. Basically, it's killer sleep. You actually die. You don't just go to sleep.
So I don't understand why there's this big controversy over using this gas, nitrogen, to inject somebody and to kill them. I mean, this seems like as painless a death as you're going to have. And these people who are trying to save somebody's life, somebody's been sentenced to death. And if they're guilty, and if there's nothing that shows that they're not guilty, if we're going to have the death penalty, then we need to follow through with it. If we're not going to have the death penalty, then we don't have the death penalty.
I agree 100% with you. I'm flabbergasted. I don't understand it. Because, look, unfortunately, in the chemical industry I was in, we've had an incident where somebody died of exposure to nitrogen gas. And it only took a piece of pipe just get his face within five to 6 inches from that piece of pipe that had nitrogen gas being released through that pipe. It didn't take but seconds. There was somebody next to him that saw him die instantly. This is a very, very dangerous gas, but if you want to kill somebody with a gas that does not result in any type of trauma or suffering or whatever, this is the best thing you can do. Absolutely.
Right. CB, I appreciate your expertise in the chemical field, and thanks for the call. Let's go to Slidell. And Robert, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, a long time listener, and I love what you do. Don't go
appreciate
anywhere
it.
Yet.
All right, thanks.
Hey, I'm on that topic of the death penalty and all these groups that are like, you know, have all this empathy about the perpetrator and the murderer that's been going through these three phases of appeals, and they're still going to be put to death, right?
Yeah.
Where were these people when they were looking at the victim? The one that was raped and killed.
Right.
And or robbed or whatever.
For no reason whatsoever. Well, you know, over time, you know, people can change. And if given time, yeah. people can change and they can be sorry for yeah. what they did. But if we're going to have the death penalty as punishment, not that it's a deterrent, but if we're going to have the death penalty as punishment, then let's have the death penalty. These arguments about this humane death are getting to be a little ridiculous, because it's not like we're talking about using Old Smokey. That was the nickname for the electric chair here at Angola. You know, yeah. the death by lethal injection. Okay, well, if it's a little painful, well, I'm sorry about that. I mean, we are talking about death. And, you know, if you've been sentenced to death, okay, you should die. If we're going to have the death penalty, then why are these arguments about these injections? Why is this getting so much traction? These judges need to stand up and say, well, wait a minute. This is going to be as painless a death as we're going to get. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and like your comment about the fentanyl. I don't know if anybody's, I'm pretty sure a lot of people went through surgery and they give you propofol, right? Well, that knocks me out. So fentanyl would be, see you later.
Look, I was given fentanyl when I was hit by a motorcycle and taken to intensive care at University Hospital. I was on fentanyl, and they mm-hmm. I asked and they told me, and I mean, I was drifting in and out. I mean, I was barely conscious, but it was controlled. If they gave me too much fentanyl, man, I would have gone under forever, and it would have been totally painless. So yeah. So no hasta luego, just hasta la vista. So I don't see why that wouldn't work. Morphine, if you give somebody too much morphine, they fall asleep and die. So, you know, everybody needs to know that these arguments for a humane death, I mean, we're still talking about death. Compared to other forms of death, these injections seem like they're relatively humane, and these judges need to stand up and just, you know, let this happen if we're going to have the death penalty. Robert, I appreciate the call, and thanks for being a longtime listener to our show. I'm Scoot. If you would like to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Coming up, I want to share some thoughts that I have about Joe Rogan's interview with Elon Musk. I saw a lot of it last night. His interviews are really long. I didn't see all of it, but I saw a lot of it last night, and we'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Scoot. Get ready for a rough day tomorrow, because we could have some very heavy thunderstorms. We'll be right back on WWL.
Some people follow the rules. I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the weekend, and, you know, Friday afternoon when we were together here, I told you it's going to be Friday before you know it. Well, I was right again. It was Friday before we even knew it. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. Representative Chuck Edwards, a Republican from North Carolina, held a town hall yesterday, and he was jeered and yelled at by hostile constituents. And now Republicans have been telling Republicans, the Republican Party has been saying, do not hold town halls. Why? Because voters are angry. Republican voters of Trump are angry, and they're expressing their opinions. I'm hearing it on this show. And this is not uncommon, what Chuck Edwards experienced in North Carolina with his town hall. This is happening in red states with Republican voters. They're angry about the job cuts. The economy is not doing well. Donald Trump is not living up to his promises when it comes to the economy. And you can get mad at me and tell me that he's just been in office for 2 months. I know that. But tell that to the people who were angry. And it's not just me who is, well, actually, I'm not disappointed, because I'm not surprised, because I talked about it during the campaign. Got criticized for it. Donald Trump is not going to be able to bring inflation under control right away, because presidents don't have that kind of control over inflation. So he was lying during the campaign. He was trying to convince the voters, vote for me, the economy's going to be great. Well, it's not great right now for a lot of people. Is it going to be great? I hope so. And maybe it will be. But you can get mad at me, but there are Republican voters who are really, really pissed off right now. and they're voicing their opinions at town hall meetings. All right, so I listened to a lot of the Joe Rogan interview with Elon Musk, and Joe Rogan, this was a partisan interview, and Joe Rogan, I don't listen to all of his podcasts, I don't watch all of his YouTube podcasts, but he seems to be leaning very much to the right now. But I think it's fair to say that he's relatively independent. I would say he's probably a radical moderate like me. It kind of depends on what the topic is. He's more liberal on some things, more conservative on some things. But in the interview with Elon Musk, he was definitely leaning to the right. And the interview was good. It was a good interview. Elon Musk is a smart guy. He really is a smart guy. And Elon Musk also was very, very guarded with his words. He was careful about what he said. But there was one part of the interview that I thought was really interesting. Rogan was talking about how politicians on Capitol Hill build fortunes, making $175,000 a year. Now, $175,000 a year is a lot of money to many of you. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, period. It's not easy to build a $20, $30, $50 million bank account making $175,000 a year. Something else has to happen. And Joe Rogan is pointing to this idea that if you become a politician, your salary is just pocket change compared to what you can make. Let's say, for example, if you know that a bill is about to pass that benefits a company or an industry, you go buy stock in that industry. You go buy stock in that company. And you're making a killing in the stock market. If you know something is about to turn negative and you have any stock in that company, you get rid of it. So, you know, I think this is probably borderline legal. But if you know something's about to happen, you can act on it financially. Also, there are ways that people, lobbyists, there are ways that they can get money to politicians that, again, is maybe borderline legal, even though it's totally unethical. The things that they get, the privileges that they get, the money that they get for speaking engagements. Again, when you can build up a $30 million bank account making $175,000 a year, there's something else going on other than your salary. And then Joe Rogan asked Elon Musk, what else are they doing? What are they doing other than voting on something that they know is going to change an industry and they benefit from that? Rogan asked Elon, what else are they doing? And Elon said he didn't want to say. He said, I don't want to reveal it because I don't want to be killed. And he seemed very serious when he thought about the idea that somebody might try to kill him if he offered this information. And both Rogan and Elon Musk were talking about how there are just enough people out there who are not mentally stable, who can be convinced that killing somebody is the right thing to do. And they even talked about the guy on the roof. What was it, Butler, Pennsylvania, or something like that, where there was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Man, there were some strange things about that I didn't know. Like the body, like, disappeared right away. I mean, it was borderline conspiracy theory, and I tend to not believe those. But Rogan was just talking about how he feels like there's a possibility that maybe they gave this guy some kind of mind-altering drug that convinced him that this is the right thing to do, to try to kill Donald Trump, and that he was going to get away with it. So anyway, I'm just sharing that part of it. But Elon Musk did not want to answer the question because he said there are just enough crazy people out there that I don't want to die. And he said, he's moved to Austin, and he said that, well, when he's not with the president, which is most of the time, but he moved everything to Austin from California, if I'm not mistaken. And he said he had some people that were coming there to try to kill him, and they weren't totally stable. So it's interesting that Elon Musk knows what the politicians do, but you take a look at the bank accounts of even our local politicians, Steve Scalise, Bill Cassidy, and John Kennedy. Take a look at their bank accounts. They're gonna amass that kind of money on that kind of salary? So I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, but they're not going to answer the questions because they got it made. But believe me, they're not doing it for their salary. They're doing it for all of the other benefits. And they are getting mega, mega, mega rich on being in office. And they don't care as much about us as you want them to. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Sunday is the Metairie St. Patrick's Day Parade. Yeah, a little bit of Irish in all of us on Sunday. And then Monday is St. Patrick's Day. And you know that's going to be a crazy time at Finn McCool's, at Tracy's, at Parasol's uptown, and some other Irish bars. It's going to be nuts. And there's something about St. Patrick's Day in New Orleans that, I mean, don't expect people to be at work long on Monday. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, so there is, some new pop culture news about Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. We'll, of course, cover that for you. And also, I want to talk a little bit about the controversy surrounding the new reboot of Snow White. Snow White, the animated story from 1937 from Disney, is being rebooted. And there's criticism coming from the actress who plays Snow White and coming from some dwarf actors. So we'll get into that. I mean, this is typical. So, you know, no matter what you do, somebody's not going to be happy. We'll talk about that and more. It's Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot, and we will be back. This is WWL.